Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. The Lord put a message on my heart for you today. I think it's going to speak to you. Matthew 27, we're going to start in verse 32. It says this, it says, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him. Someone say forced him. They forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And today, I want to preach for the next few moments, if I can. I want to preach from the subject, the cross I didn't choose. The cross I didn't choose. And would you pray with me now? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to anoint these words. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we ask that you'd speak to us today. Lord, we've come into your house, but Lord, we want to leave different than how we walked in. Help us to see Jesus in a fresh way. God, I pray you'd lift heads, encourage hearts, minister to our spirit. Lord, we bless you in your house. And if you agree with that prayer, all of God's people said, amen. All of God's people said, amen. And if you love Jesus, clap your hands, make a little bit of noise on a Sunday morning. I like a loud church. You know, I really believe that a lot of life is about being proactive. I certainly could teach you about setting a plan, making a decision. I believe that God has a plan, but he won't make your plan. I believe you have to step out in faith. I believe that you have to take initiative. All of those things are true. But I've also learned in life that sometimes you don't choose the path, but rather the path chooses you. Sometimes you don't pick your route. Sometimes you don't get to decide the entire agenda. Sometimes you find a calling, but oftentimes a calling will find you. And I know this to be true just from my own personal story. In 1998, my family moved from Tacoma, Washington to Miami, Florida. Now, in 1998, I was 14 years of age. And I don't know how your family does it, but in my family, there was no vote. There was no family meeting. My dad's voice was the voice of God. We're going to Miami. And at that point, I curtsied and I said, yes, sir. And when I look back on it, what I know to be true is that I didn't choose Miami. Miami chose me. And what might have felt kind of random as a 14-year-old, now it's only at 41 years of age that I can see that it was revelation dressed up in a disguise. I had no idea that that move in 1998 would lead me into my purpose and into my calling, that today I'd be leading a life-giving church in the heart of Miami, that I'd have four beautiful children, that we'd be seeing a church grow right there in the heart of the city that's turning, I believe, a city upside down. In fact, I believe we're ushering a revival into the city of Miami. Come on, if you believe it, clap your hands. I need some faith in Springfield. I suppose what I'm trying to get at is that so much of my purpose was wrapped up in somebody else's decision. I don't think we talk about this enough because it's not just true for me, it's true for you. There's so many things that are happening in your life right now that you didn't decide, that you didn't choose, that you didn't volunteer for. It just was picked for you. You didn't pick which family you were going to be born into. You didn't pick your eye color. You didn't pick your height. You didn't pick that your parents would get divorced. You didn't choose that you would go through that betrayal. You didn't choose for that addiction to be in your bloodline. You didn't choose for your wife to pass away soon. You didn't choose for that issue, for that heartache. I could go on and on and on. What I'm learning in life is that some of the most significant moments in life are not about what you conquer and what you control, but rather what you carry and what you release. So many things in life you have no control over. And what I just want to announce today to the body of Christ is that God is not very interested in your strength. What he is looking for is your surrender. Because you don't get to control what happens to you. You merely get to control how you respond to what happens to you. Is there anybody in this room that wants to respond in faith even when life hits you hard? Somebody give God some praise this morning. Whether we want to admit it or not, life is going to happen. It's going to happen. And life is heavy. Life is full of pain. It's full of struggle. It's full of hardship. No doubt there's beautiful things in life, but also with the beauty is the brutality of life. My heart is grieved today, and I know that many of you woke up with the same feeling in your heart as so many parents woke up in Texas today as little girls went to a Christian camp and a flash flood has taken so many lives. I think as the body of Christ today, the scripture says that not only do we celebrate together, but we also mourn together. My heart is grieved for parents that woke up and today they're facing the ramifications of a broken and fallen world, that life is hard. I didn't choose this. I didn't pick this. I didn't want this. I didn't see this coming, but here it is. It's on my doorstep. What am I going to do with it? I think when life is done properly, hopefully this is true for your story, but I know it's not true for everyone's story, but life only gets heavier as you go. Like my kids in my house, if I'm being honest with you, life's not very heavy for them right now. I've got four kids, a seven-year-old, a five-year-old, a four-year-old, and a seven-month-old baby at home. And their life, if I'm going to be honest with you, is pretty easy. It's pretty good. Like it's kind of marked by recess, nap, and, you know, snack time, which I'm not judging that, by the way. That sounds like vacation at 41, right? But how many of y'all know that as life grows, as they get older, life is going to get heavier? Here's what I know about the future. If you do it right, the future is going to be more demanding than the past. What is the reward for passing the eighth grade? The ninth grade. We move forward from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. The future is always more demanding than the past because we're always growing. And I prayed so often in my life for a promotion. Nobody told me that with that promotion was going to come new pressure. Many of us have been praying for influence, but God gave you influence, and now your life is marked with brand new insecurities, and you're having a hard time going, who do I relate to? I've got more influence than ever, but why do I also have more insecurity? Some of y'all have been praying for a spouse, and you've been praying hard, God, send me a man or send me a woman. Now you got married, and it's beautiful. You're married. It's incredible. But nobody told you that now you have to deal with their emotional pain. You have to carry their burdens as well. It's a new weight on you. For Don Shree and I, we prayed for kids. I mean, kids are the greatest joy of our life. We got four kids. But I didn't know all that I was bargaining for as kids entered into our life, because now we carry all sorts of stuff. We've got car seats and diapers and agendas and all sorts of plans and even generational trauma all before noon. You feel me? Like, we're carrying a lot. Why? Because it's a simple principle. The more you grow, the more you're going to carry. The more you grow, the more you're going to carry. I think about my story at 17 years of age. I think that youth camp is amazing because my life was changed forever in a youth camp style setting. And I answered the call. God, I'm going to preach your gospel. But nobody told me all that was going to come with it. I thought I was signing up for a microphone and giving speeches. But at 41, I've got budgets and payrolls and deacons. And broken people, and spiritual warfare, and all sorts of things that I did not choose. And often, I look at even my story today, and I'm not preaching to my church, I'm a guest today, so I can just be real honest with you. A lot of times, I look at my call and where I'm at in this life, and I say, Lord, I didn't choose this cross chose me. And friend, let me encourage you today. The cross that you did not choose will oftentimes be the very thing that changes you the most. God is going to use the thing that you didn't pick. God is going to use the thing that you didn't volunteer for. God is going to use the pain, the struggle, the adversity, the obstacle, the opposition, and he's going to develop something inside of you. It's called perseverance, which is going to give way so that you might be mature and complete. You didn't choose the cross. It chose you. It shows you. And I think this passage that we have today of the story of this man by the name of Simon of Cyrene illustrates this principle in a beautiful way. I don't know if you know the story, but in three of the four Gospels, this man, Simon of Cyrene, shows up, which already speaks to me because I don't hear a lot of sermons on Simon of Cyrene. He only gets about one or two verses in each one of those Gospels. He's a bystander who was just coming by. He's from out of town, and he shows up to Jerusalem, and on that day that he shows up, Jesus has been flogged, he's been beaten, and he's carrying his cross towards Golgotha's hill. When all of a sudden, Simon is picked out of the crowd and is forced to carry Jesus's cross. Now, what's interesting as you read this is in Roman culture, when people were being tortured by way of crucifixion, they would make the guilty person carry the cross because as they carried the cross, it was a statement of guilt. I love the Bible though, because if you know how the story goes, Jesus wasn't actually guilty. He was actually innocent. Therefore, he didn't carry his cross. Somebody else did. And the Bible says in Luke's gospel that Simon is chosen. And Simon, as you read it, follows Jesus from a distance behind him. I don't think this is an accidental text. I think it's providential because it's a picture for you and I of what it means to be a disciple. That every one of us, if we're going to truly follow Jesus, we're gonna have to pick up our cross daily, and he walks in front of us and we follow him wherever he goes. I wonder, is there anybody at James River today that says, I wanna be a disciple, I wanna follow Jesus, no matter the cost, no matter the terrain? Come on, if that's you, clap your hands, make a little bit of noise today, build your faith. It's the cross I didn't choose. How do I know when I'm carrying a cross? Let's examine Simon's story for a moment and make a few observations. I think the first thing that we know when we're carrying a cross is when it goes against our preference. Everyone say preference. We live in a time right now in 2025 that everything about this life caters to what you want. You don't like the news? Cool. We'll give you news that you do like. You don't like that music playlist? Great, we'll curate a music playlist perfectly for you. Have you ever found yourself on Netflix to only scroll through Netflix for an hour and only go, there's nothing to watch? We've never had more options and more things that are catered and curated to our preference, yet we still can't even make a decision. We're still at a loss, we're still empty. I think a lot of people don't realize that when it comes to following Jesus, he's not gonna always call you to do things that you want to do. In fact, some of you, you're waiting on God to get a word that you like. And you might be waiting forever. Because God calls people to do, time and time again, things that they don't wanna do. I can show it to you all over the Bible. Like, they don't want to do it. Do you think Daniel wanted to go in the lion's den? You think Shadrach and Meshach were like, I can't wait to get in that fire. It's getting hot in here. No. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? In fact, we know he didn't. That's why he prayed from a garden. Father, not my will, but your will. My flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Is there anybody in the room today that has a willing spirit? Go ahead and give God some praise. My spirit's willing, God. The text says that Simon was forced to carry the cross. He wasn't like, pick me. Here I am. Send me, Lord. That wasn't his prayer at all. He was passing through and they picked him out of a crowd and he was dragged into the story. He did not choose this cross. This cross chose him and it probably went against his preference. And so it is with all of us, that when we find ourselves in life doing something that we don't want to do, it might just be God, and it might just be for a reason. I fly on airplanes a lot. In fact, I've flown 3 million air miles with American Airlines. You would think that this would mean that with that type of status, that I would always be in a great seat, but somehow I still find myself dealing with the opposition of the enemy. A couple of weeks ago, I got on an American Airlines flight only to be booked in a middle seat. The devil is a liar. And I'm sitting in this seat and we're taking off, and I'm in between a man and a woman. And as we take off, they're talking to each other. And I can quickly discover, oh, they're married. This is like a couple. So I do what I think is the polite thing to do. Hey, do you guys want to switch seats? They said, no, we're good. They continue for the entire flight to have a conversation with me in the middle. I'm passing snacks back and forth. I became their surrogate son in that moment, you know? I'm like, Mom, Dad, it was so strange. And I'm sitting there in the middle, I'm like, God, what is going on? This is crazy. And I kind of heard God say, well, now you know how I feel. Because he is the God who died in the middle. Remember when Jesus is on that cross right there in Matthew 27, and he's in between two thieves, and here these thieves are talking back and forth, and I wondered if Jesus is probably like, God, can I just die in peace? But it's what we're called to. We're called oftentimes to that uncomfortable seat. And maybe you're here today and you're like caught in between the drama of two other parties. You're in a discussion that you didn't start, that you don't want to end. It has nothing to do with you. And you're going, why am I here in the middle? I don't want this. I don't prefer this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't volunteer for this. It just showed up on my doorstep. But what I know about God is that many times God will put us in an uncomfortable seat because he's trying to get us to an unshakable state. God is doing something in the midst of your life that he's building you. He's developing you. He's maturing you. Listen to me. God does not shape you using things you prefer. God is going to shape you with things that you endure. It's called trials, and it's called challenges, and it's called crosses. It's the cross I didn't choose that's changing me the most. Simon is pulled out from the crowd, and now he's following Jesus. But it's not just his preference. It's also his plans. Everyone say plans. Because preference is all about what I wanted, but plans is all about how I thought this was going to go. And we bring our plans before God, and that old adage says we make plans and God laughs. But nonetheless, when plans fail, the result is disappointment. Disappointment, by definition, is unmet expectations. And today in this room, there's thousands of people that are at our locations today that you've walked into God's house and you've been following Jesus, yet somehow you find yourself in a moment, you're going, man, I'm 30 years of age, or I'm 35 or 45 or 55, and life just hasn't turned out the way that I hoped it would turn out. My plan hasn't come about. I hoped I would have a house by now. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought we were gonna have kids. I thought I'd be happier. I thought I'd have more money. I thought I could retire. I don't know what the plan is, but I know what it feels like to have a dream and then never see it fulfilled. It leaves you with disappointment. And a disappointed soul becomes a defeated soul. And a defeated soul becomes a discouraged soul. And when discouragement takes residence in your heart, it's hard to walk by faith. It's hard to give God a shout of praise. It's hard to believe for more when over and over and over again, your expectation is not lined up with your experience. Maybe you're here today and you're going, I'm in a situation right now, Rich, and my situation isn't lining up with my expectation, what would you say to me? Here's what I would say to you. When your situation doesn't line up with your expectation, I always believe God's about to give you, listen to me, a revelation. He's gonna reveal something about who he is in the midst of the pain. Simon shows up, and what scholars believe is that he's come from Cyrene, which is North Africa, almost 800 miles, and they believe he's in Jerusalem because he's there for Passover. So he's a Jewish man who came with a plan to see a lamb sacrifice for blood to cover his sins for a year, to pray behind the veil. He's coming to remember a miracle. What's fascinating is his plan was Passover. God's plan was prophecy. I've been married to the same woman. It'll be this August. It'll be 19 years. Holler at your boy. I'm excited about it. All glory to God. But when I was 17 years of age, I really felt that I was supposed to go to Bible college at Azusa Pacific University. That's outside of Los Angeles, California. And so I came to my father and I said, Dad, I've sought the Lord and he's answered my prayer. And I'm going to be leaving this fall and I'm going to be going to school at Azusa Pacific University. My dad responded, God didn't say that. I said, what's that? He said, nah, you're not going to LA. I go, what's that? He goes, God didn't say that. Okay, what did he say? He said, you're going to go to school at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And when I heard that, friends, a kid growing up in Miami, LA or Cleveland, Tennessee, just not the same. You feel me? But nonetheless, I was angry at my dad, but I could not show it because I'm afraid of him. And whatever, Dad, that's crazy. And I got to go to LA. Dad's like, nope, you're going to school in Cleveland, Tennessee. About a month or so later, I was in Nashville, Tennessee, visiting my older brother. We were at a church service, and in walked this beautiful blonde-head bombshell of a girl named Dawn Cherie. I saw her. I said, I choose you. Just by faith, I chose her. And I was in love with her instantly. It took her many years before she fell in love with me. But the rest is history. We ended up getting married. But I'll never forget, we were falling in love, and we were on the phone. And one night I was on the phone with Dawn Cherie and I said, what are your plans for the fall? What are your plans? And she said, well, I'm gonna move to Nashville, Tennessee because I'm making music in Nashville, Tennessee. I said, no way. I said, how far is Nashville, Tennessee from Cleveland, Tennessee? She said, it's about a 2-hour drive. I said, well, I know what God's plan is for my life. And I said, I have the best father a boy could ever ask for. Because what I'm getting at is if God can't change your plans, how can he ever improve your plans? I was so dead set on going to LA, but my dad said, no, Cleveland, Tennessee is where you're gonna go. And it was because I went to Cleveland, Tennessee that my wife and I ended up getting married. I'm grateful for a father that actually broke what I wanted and told me what God wanted. And so it is with Simon, because Simon shows up to Jerusalem and he's there for the Passover, but God's going, no, you're going to fulfill a prophecy. You think you're there to see the high priest kill a lamb? No, you're going to watch the greatest high priest die on a cross for your sins. You're headed there, Simon, to pray behind the veil. But what you don't know is I'm about to improve it and change it. I'm about to tear the veil wide open, and my presence you will have access to any moment. You're going there to reflect on a miracle that I did thousands of years ago. But what I want you to know, Simon, is you're getting ready to witness the greatest miracle history has ever seen. I'm about to improve your plans. Come on, somebody. If God always met your expectation, how could he ever exceed it? Somebody give him praise today. I didn't plan on this, but I believe my God can improve it. It's his preference, it's his plans, but lastly, it's his pride. And today, you know you're carrying a cross when that thing that you're carrying feels beneath you. It's one thing to say, I didn't want this, I didn't see this coming. It's another thing when you say, I don't feel like I deserve this. I don't know if there's anyone out there like me, but I am a control freak. And I'm not proud of that, but it's just the truth. I'm not gonna make you raise your hands because your wife will make you raise your hand. And I'm the kind of guy getting into an Uber, I'm like, license and registration, please. You could say, Rich, relax. And I can relax, I just have to schedule the relaxing, okay? But here's the truth about God, is that God is not going to build your faith through control. He builds our faith through trust. And trust requires us to let go. I trust you, God. I don't know who's here today that you're carrying something right now that you're saying, I don't deserve this. This isn't right. I'm above this. This is wrong. I'm unjustified. I'm not making light out of your cross. I'm just saying you're starting to look like your Savior. You're actually in a spot right now that you are being discipled and you're being shaped and you're being formed because Simon is brought into the story and now he's carrying it. And I imagine as he feels the weight of the cross, as he feels the splinters of the cross, as he feels the heaviness of the cross, as he feels the shame of the cross, there's probably something inside of him saying, I don't deserve this at all. How did I end up here? Why is this going on in my life right here, right now? I shouldn't have to be facing this. I didn't pick this. I didn't plan on this. And this is certainly, certainly beneath me. Why am I carrying this man's cross? But oftentimes, the cross that we didn't want has the grace we didn't know that we needed. I love this idea because that cross would have been covered in blood. Jesus had already been whipped with the cat of nine tails. His back had been exposed. And as he carried that cross, his blood was all over that cross, which tells me that when Simon got under the cross, he couldn't help but get marked by it. The blood of Jesus started getting on Simon. And I don't know about you, but I need the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins. It's the blood of Jesus that humbles us. It's his grace in action. Anybody thankful for the blood today? The blood that washes us clean. Cross I didn't want, happened to have the grace I didn't know I needed it. And Simon didn't know how much he needed to carry this cross. He had no idea how much this moment was going to change his forever. He didn't pick it, he didn't want it, it felt beneath him, but as he got under it, the blood got on him. And so it is with all of us, that when we get under that burden that God hands us, something begins to take place in our life. Jesus said in Luke, if you must follow me, you must die daily and pick up your cross. And what I know about carrying a cross is that whatever you pick up determines what you let go of. And as you carry your cross, there's some things that you can't hang on to any longer. You don't get to hold on to bitterness. You don't get to hold on to pride. You can't chase clout when you're carrying your cross. Just think about that picture for a moment. I wish I had a cross up here because I'd start walking this cross. I'd start going down these aisles. How many of y'all know it starts to be really difficult to sin when you're carrying a cross? I think a lot of people, they're like, I don't want to sin. And they try to hold the kickboard underwater. I think a better picture is carry your cross. Lean into the discomfort. Lean into the areas that are humbling you. Lean into the areas and go, this is not my dream, not my plan. How did this end up here? Do not forsake the God dream for the American dream. He must become greater and I must become less. Hard to gossip about your neighbor carrying your cross. Hard to get into an affair when you got a cross on your back. Are you gonna like bring the cross? Yeah, it kind of comes with me. It stops you in your tracks. And here's Simon and he's carrying this cross and the blood is getting on him. And no doubt he's feeling the weight of it. And no doubt he's carrying something. But can we be encouraged for a moment? He's not carrying everything. He's not carrying his past and he's not carrying his shame and he's not carrying the sins of humanity on his back. Jesus is doing that. And I just came to James River because I know some people right now, you're in a season or you're in a moment or you find yourself with a cross on your doorstep and you are carrying real weight. And I sympathize and I empathize and I feel you. But listen to me loud and clear. You're carrying something, but anybody grateful for Jesus, you're not carrying everything. Somebody ought to give him a big shout of praise. You don't have to carry it all. You don't have to carry it all. His grace is sufficient for you. For when you're weak, he's still strong. I cast all my cares upon you because you care for me. So I gotta carry a cross, but I must understand I'm not carrying everything. I didn't choose this cross. The cross you didn't choose, your preference, your plan, your pride was leading you right into your purpose. And it's not just a good preacher line, I believe it. The scripture tells us in Mark chapter 15, one other little detail, that Simon of Cyrene, as he was there that day in Jerusalem, he wasn't there alone, but rather both of his sons, Rufus and Alexander, were with him. Meaning they watched their father carry this cross. And I want to encourage some parents today, youth camp weekend coming up. More than what you say, it's about what you do. Your children are not just listening to you, they're watching you. Let me quote my mom for a moment. More is caught than taught. And when we suffer well, when we carry our cross, our kids become the benefactors of it. You don't believe me? I've been pastoring a church for 10 years, in ministry for 18 years. I cannot tell you how many stories I have witnessed when I talk to children who have become something great, who become something successful, who are living a significant life, and they will point back to a mom or a dad, not who was famous, not who was great in man's eyes, but somebody who was resilient. You ask the young man who came up out of the ashes, how'd you do it? I watched my mom raise three kids as a single mom, and somehow as she worked two different jobs, she always put food on the table. She taught us gratitude. There's something about her that lives in me. You ask the little girl who watched her dad get fired from his job, yet somehow he sits down at the dinner table at night and he offers a prayer of gratitude to God. She will say, there's something about him that marked me. Talk to a child who watched their parents get free and become sober from an addiction. Something about her freedom and something about her resiliency lives inside of me. And so it is with all of us, that my pain becomes a blueprint for the next generation. And my obedience becomes my children's inheritance and legacy. Because that day as Simon picked up that cross, almost every scholar believes that he gave his life to Jesus. But it wasn't just him who gave his life to Jesus. Romans chapter 16, Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Almost every scholar believes that this Rufus in Romans 16 is the same Rufus in Mark 15. You say, Rich, what are you saying? I'm saying that day as that cross showed up in Simon's life, he didn't choose it, it chose him. But as life was handing him a cross, God was handing him a purpose. It wasn't just changing his life, it was changing his kids' life. Those boys watched their daddy carry that cross and they said, we now have a purpose. We're giving our life to Jesus. Come on, somebody, put some purpose on your pain today. Put some purpose on your pain today. I didn't choose it. It chose me, but here I am. And I'm gonna stand firm in it. I'm not gonna give up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Turns out it wasn't punishment. It was placement. And the cross I didn't choose, it chose me.